The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Handoff, Elliott plowing to the goal line. Barry, sacked by Lord. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now, your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, Rob Phillips, and Kyle Yeomans.
Welcome into a Tuesday edition of Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, here from the Star in Frisco as we continue to break down the Cowboys' 20-17 win over the Cincinnati Bengals, and we'll do so by taking your calls in the next segment, 888-855-2297. It is a Talking Tuesday here from the Star. Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, Rob Phillips, Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing very well.
Fantabuloso.
Victory Tuesday.
It is a Victory Tuesday. How about that? And for those of you wondering, we do still do the smelly stickers.
What? What is that?
The smelly stickers are our form as a show of helmet stickers, and we give them out to our players of the game, our coaches of the game, our whoever of the game, and we'll scratch and sniff the stickers onto the Cowboys helmet, and they'll continue to grow in size on the helmet throughout the course of the season. We'll do that in the final segment as well. I kind of forgot about it yesterday. So
yeah, that was not in the rundown that you had.
No, I forgot about it this morning too, if I'm being honest. So, but we're back at it. Smelly stickers are here, and we are ready to rock. So Cowboys were back in the building yesterday, not on the practice field. They're off today, Rob. But what changes now? Because you've got this Monday Night Football game coming up. You got a little bit of a longer week to kind of take care of things. What does that look like from as we get a quick pit stop from Chris Beam? Look at this.
Always on the job.
Sound better now, right?
The man right
Super
there.
Super Beam. Looky there.
Thanks, buddy.
Super Beam.
I see you pulling out a little mystical
Beam.
Little verse today. That's the man right there.
That's the man right there.
That's the man. Did you listen to Mystical?
A little bit.
What is that?
When I was
What
is it?
Oh, that's a conversation.
Jeez.
Oh, what is
we
it?
Got, we got 10 minutes till the break.
Legendary hip hop. legendary hip hop artist from New Orleans.
He's a real one. Yeah. A real one.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even hear what you said. You said mystical.
Well, he said Beam is the man. He said that's the man right there.
Watch yourself.
That's a mystical.
Oh, okay.
Watch yourself, Kyle.
I know that.
Watch yourself.
Yeah. I didn't know that was the artist name.
You should watch BET Uncut, huh?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Isaiah was
was my childhood.
Kyle was a little bit of tip drill, but you know.
Kyle was going to sleep. And
a little bit of Nelly at 3 a.m.
Oh man,
oh man,
it's what we all love to hear on Talking Cowboys. All right, news and notes, Rob. Cowboys longer week to practice, right?
Lauren Sokol, former Cowboys alumni, biggest Nelly fan you'll ever meet in your life. Yeah, yeah, I'm a Nelly fan too. All right, injuries. Cowboys got some pretty good news in terms of injuries and guys working their way back. We'll see on Michael Gallup. We'll see on Jason Peters, who's not injured but is working his way back. I think both guys have a chance to play in week three. We'll see how the week of practice goes, we'll see on Dak over the next couple weeks as well. He's not going to play in this game coming up against New York. He's going to get his stitches out from his thumb surgery at some point this week. There's still going to have to be probably a little bit of healing there, some swelling going down, and as Jerry spoke on the fan. And Sunday night, it's about strength. Can he grip the football? That's the biggest thing. He says they're not so worried about the injury resurfacing when he comes back. It's more about can he grip and throw the football. So we'll see. It's going to be the Cooper Rush show at least for one more game. And Dalton Schultz is the other guy to keep an eye on because he's probably considered day-to-day, iffy for this week with a knee injury to his right knee, PCL-type injury.
So PCL, MCL, ACL, knee. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is the difference there? Is the PCL a little bit easier to deal with from a general standpoint? I mean, of course, everything's case by case.
A PCL is more easily healed with rest. Okay. It's an issue. I mean, you look at what happened with Ezekiel Elliott in 2021, and had Ezekiel Elliott taken some time off, then the back end of his season, he wouldn't have been so slowed by it. But by constantly, you know, playing through the reps on it week in, week out, never really gave it an opportunity to rest. And that's why you saw once that season ended, or once last season ended, he did not require surgery. It was as simple as the offseason itself was going to heal it. So it's one of those types of injuries. And it's pain management is a big part of it for Dalton Schultz as well, especially this week, you know, first few days after the injury has occurred. You know, is there a little bit of swelling? Has the swelling gone down? Mike McCarthy said that, you know, they're going to, quote unquote, give him every chance to take the field on Monday night. They do get the extra day, which would help. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And if Dalton Schultz either can't, you know, manage through whatever pain he might be dealing with in the moment, or they feel like he's going to be a little bit too slow to be impactful, you know, in a important divisional game, then it's going to be the Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendon shot show at MetLife Stadium.
And those two guys have played well. I don't know if you could really look at them as receiving threats yet. The only time that Hendershot was technically targeted was in the final drive of the game. He was kind of cutting over on the flats. He was targeted.
Yeah.
And then Logan Wilson came up, got both hands on the football, and it ricocheted back to Noah Brown.
Oh, that was a direct pass, Kyle.
Stop it. Don't you stop.
Had it all the way.
All the way through.
Never a doubt.
He was beelining, which honestly was the right choice. It was a fantastic play of the drive. But he was beelining right at Peyton Hendershot.
What?
Yes, that was exactly right. Stop it. You've watched
the film. It's right there on the film. Yeah, that's the evil.
First time I've seen this.
Which was by far the better choice, because if Peyton Hendershot would have caught that football, he'd be still going up the sideline.
The better choice by the football gods, because they're the ones that's
a luck.
Made we need
that
to go to Vegas.
What did
right
I say
now?
Yesterday?
Yeah, it was luck,
sometimes
man.
It's better to be lucky than good. So, but shouts out to Noah Brown for maintaining the focus to, you know, and making that play.
Yeah, after. When you and I were watching the broadcast, they made it very obvious that Logan Wilson ricocheted that football. It didn't make it obvious that it went to a completely different target.
Totally different direction.
Completely different target.
It wasn't like it tipped and like went over somebody and then the other guy caught it. Mm-hmm. It was like literally a 45-degree turn.
Yeah. It's a ricochet bullet.
Just threw on
worked out for Rush, man.
Rob, you were saying in the booth that during that play, and what we're talking about for those that don't know is final drive of the football game when the Cowboys are trying to get Brett Maher into field goal range. It was a 15-yard or 16-yard catch by Noah Brown over the middle. Cooper Rush was looking right, throwing right to Peyton Hendershot in the flats, who had a long way to go on the sideline if he would have caught that football. Logan Wilson, the linebacker, came in and batted it, and it went straight to Noah Brown instead in the middle of triple coverage. But you said you didn't know because of the way that it kind of happened live, right?
Yeah, just from the press box view, I thought he had it all the way. Same. Just finding his guy from practice squad 2017 to 2022, you know, I thought he had him all the way.
Credit to Noah Brown, because he didn't hesitate
at all.
A single bit.
Really treated it like it was his target, his ball.
Yep.
Looked it all the way in, got down to make sure that he was between the ball and the ground. And, you know, the legend of Noah Brown grows.
Wide receiver one, right? A lot of people are saying that, making that joke around Cowboys Nation.
Two. Until
that's fine.
MG-13 returns, then three, which is the Cowboys are expecting from Noah Brown, which is to take the step and become what Cedric Wilson was for this offense prior to losing Cedric Wilson to free agency.
You kind of perked up, Isaiah.
No, it's just going to be interesting when they get all the guys back.
Yep,
I mean, I think Gallup, I'm going to get crucified for this.
Nope. No, you're not.
Nope.
Do it.
Gallup is a huge, obviously, addition to this offense. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be as great of a game changer as James Washington. And that's probably a very bold statement to make. Gallup will draw a lot of attention if he is old Gallup. If he's the Gallup of the reason why they re-signed him is all his capabilities and abilities are there, physically there, and he hits the ground running, and he has a speed, which is his biggest asset. If he has all that, he will take the top off of this defense and create a lot more opportunities for CD. But I think James Washington, when he presents himself, and he's kind of like the forgotten guy. You don't hear anybody talking about him. The signing, kind of, it happened, but nobody got excited, really, because he got injured shortly after, and he just didn't do camp. You know, just the whole thing.
He wasn't really lighting it up at camp either.
He wasn't lighting it up at camp either, you know, but you have to understand what he's going to provide for this offense. And what Dalton Schultz the security blanket, as much as we talk about security blanket and everything in regards to him, James Washington is going to be that guy too. And don't forget that dude has some wheels. And don't forget that he's not a regular size receiver, and he's going to get in there and get dirty as well, kind of like Hines Ward-ish, right? So there's things that he's going to bring, physicality, the ability to move the chains and things of that nature that are going to be so much a part of the DNA of this offense going forward. And then, yeah, Gallup's going to be Gallup. Like, I'm not taking anything away from him. But in terms of the consistency and reliability of somebody underneath and not always having to rely on those deep passes, you're going to have high percentage passes that you're going to be able to complete with James Washington. He's going to help you move the ball with the running game and in the passing game.
Well, here's where I am on James Washington. And I said this in previous episodes. I was exceedingly high on James Washington during the year he was coming out of OK State. But that said, and I've even said it to you as well here on the show, I think the Steelers misused him. Mm-hmm. I think he was also, you know, taking a little bit of a step back there in Pittsburgh when you combine that reality with the fact that Roethlisberger was on his last legs of his career. Ben did not look good in the past couple of seasons, so forth and so on. Cowboys add James Washington this offseason. I'm like, okay, all right. James with Dak and, you know, CD, you lose Amari. Yes, Gallup's, you know, he'll be back. It's like, okay, I could kind of see this coming together. And then training camp arrives, to Kyle's point.
Yeah.
James Washington struggled early in camp. Then he made a couple flash plays, struggled again, and then he got injured. So I couldn't even necessarily designate it as a mixed bag because there were positives there. He made some plays, but he left more plays on the field in training camp than there were those that he made prior to being injured. So I still need to see James Washington in this offense to believe that he will be what you just said and what I hope will be true.
That's fair.
But Washington was already being beat out by Tolbert, whom we'll get to here momentarily.
Oh, man.
And some of the younger guys. And now his absence has opened the door for a guy like Noah Brown to make good on the promise to the Cowboys that, hey, Cedric Wilson's not here. I can be that guy. Mm. And you're starting to see Noah Brown's trajectory tick higher and higher as the weeks go on. So we know what Michael Gallup is. He's a game-breaking receiver who can high point. He plays violent at the point of attack. You throw that ball up there, he's going to go get it. He's kind of in that Mike Evans / Dez Bryant fold of, hey, big, strong receiver, good luck defensive back. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I do believe that that's more Gallup's specialty than the underneath. But I think when Gallup returns, the underneath, does it go to James Washington or does it go to Noah Brown, CeeDee Lamb? I think as they start to try to work Tolbert, and we'll talk about this momentarily, as they start to try to work Tolbert into the mix, that's going to come concurrent with Washington possibly coming off of IR.
Yeah.
Who gets the nod there?
It fills out your options, right?
It does.
Because,
it does.
I mean, after week one, the way that went, we looked at this wide receiving core and said, where's the production going to come from? Mm-hmm. Because right now there is none, at least in week one. This week you feel a little bit better because now you say, okay, Noah Brown can bring you production. CeeDee Lamb we know can bring production. Mm-hmm. If you add some of these other pieces like a Gallup and a Washington, all of a sudden you're four deep with guys that can certainly play NFL caliber football at a high level.
Facts.
And you've got a Jalen Tolbert sitting in the wings of a third round pick. And before we get to Jalen Tolbert, did you have something to add there about kind of looking at filling in the options here and just kind of the way that could work out?
Kind of carrying on to what you were just about to say. Like, I don't know where Jalen Tolbert fits in once everybody gets healthy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he's going to be active for this game. Stephen Jones said on The Fan yesterday that it was a close call. They talked about maybe making him active for week two and did not. They referenced again why he hasn't been active the first two games. A hamstring injury that he had, but really was back in the spring more than at training camp, that kind of set him back. And they said they maybe put too much on him in terms of learning all three receiver positions. I don't know. I think guys have just taken advantage over him.
Correct.
Of their opportunities, bottom line. And not to say he's not going to work his way in. I think he's got a lot of talent. But Noah Brown's not going to go anywhere, man.
Right.
Once the guys get, exactly. get healthy, he's played well. He's a guy that Dak's willing to go to. Coop's willing to go to. You guys referenced James Washington. It's a good problem to have. I mean, I do think with Gallup, and maybe to a certain extent Washington, but we're talking about MG coming off a serious injury, 60 plays. I think you got to work him back in, but I do think he brings a lot in terms of maybe a guy who can stretch the field more than what they've had. But, yeah, I don't know. it's a good problem to have. I don't know where Tolbert fits in once everybody gets healthy.
Because you're looking at this as not you specifically. I know I pointed at Isaiah, but looking at this from a Cowboys Nation standpoint, you're saying, why is our third round pick not active on game day? Last year, it was Kelvin Joseph that had that question mark over his head. Why is our second round pick not active on game day? This is a guy in Jalen Tolbert that, sure, he came from the Sun Belt, but when they drafted him, he was heralded as an NFL-ready guy. There was always going to be a bit of an adjustment coming from South Alabama to playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to playing the Cincinnati Bengals, and even the New York Giants coming up next week. There was going to be that adjustment, but then he went to Miami, and he was with Dak. Then he came to OTAs, and he flashed in OTAs, and he played well in the offseason program. And then he goes to the training camp, and he just disappears. He goes to the preseason, and they try and force feed on the ball, doesn't play very well. Isaiah, is that what panic level are we at? Are we at DEFCON 3, DEFCON 2? Should we just not worry about this at all with Jalen Tolbert, or is this something that should be concerning?
You definitely need to have your antennas up. I don't think there is a question mark in regards to him not being active as a third-round pick. Okay, what do you say, 88th overall?
Yep.
Definitely, he needs to find a way to be active, especially when you're missing two of your premier receivers. You know, one of them is definitely a premier, one of them is a possible, right? The double whammy, or the when the Bob Saget moment comes, is when Dennis Houston is active for the first two games and Jalen Tolbert, the third-round pick, is not. That's what makes you say, oh, crap. And Ray really raises your eyebrow. Because you could, if it wasn't for Dennis Houston, you could say, you know what? Maybe they just need to work him in. Maybe Jalen Tolbert's still trying to figure things out. We give him a little time. You know, we don't necessarily need him right now. And we don't want to force his hand. And we don't want to force things in there. But then you have a undrafted, uninvested Dennis Houston that comes in there, week one starts. Jalen Tolbert's not suited up. He's over there with sunflower seeds and sweatpants.
In part because the QB1 at training camp is just like, I like that's 17.
Okay. I'm with you on that, Robbie.
Five targets in week one.
I'm with you on that. Okay, so he's Dak's guy. We knew that. Okay, now week two's here. Where's Dak?
Oh, I have an answer for you.
Where's Dak?
He's on the sideline.
Yeah. Okay, so Dak's on the sideline with the splint on his thumb. Okay. And who starts?
Dennis Houston.
Oh, crap.
Let me ask you this. Real quick. No, see, let me ask you this. Because they say, oh, well, maybe we put too much on him with three receiver positions. You know, is that too much to ask? Or is that on the coaches to say, well, okay. Because if they're saying that maybe he hadn't worked enough special teams to be part of that role as he's active, I just think he still should be able to be active, right?
I think that's the magic two words, special teams.
Yeah.
Because McCarthy has literally said that Tolbert is a step behind. Now, he attributes it to the hamstring injury, but the fact remains he says he's a step behind these other guys. If you're Jalen Tolbert, as you're trying to get equal and then pass the guys that you're, allegedly a step behind, you're going to have to make some real value, show some real value on special teams to get on the field right now.
This guy said a couple different times along the way, Isaiah. In terms of special teams.
It's going to have to be special teams for Jalen Tolbert. So if you talk, I think the conversation that, came down to the wire, so to speak, as Jerry put it, is that it's Houston versus Fajoco versus a guy like Jalen Tolbert. And you say, okay, which of these guys give us enough right now on offense as far as potentially being able to target them, having some chemistry with whomever the QB is? But whom of those three also gives you good value on special teams? Because you can damn well guarantee that Bones Fossil is in this wide receiver conversation. When you start talking about wide receiver 3, 4, 5.
He's already got Turpin on the list.
There you go. Turpin's already there.
Can we just take a second and just do a clap for Dennis Houston? Bravo, Dennis Houston. Freaking bravo. Not only did you beat out Jalen Tolbert, third-round draft pick, but you also beat out Simi Fajoco, fourth round last year, correct?
Yep.
So you beat out both draft picks that have every opportunity ahead of you to play. And yet, some way, somehow, you earn the respect of QB1. Mm-hmm. You earn the respect of the offensive coordinator. You earn the respect of QB2.
And the special teams coordinator.
Over two back-to-back year draft picks, top four round draft picks. They trust you more than they trust them. Kudos to you, freaking Dennis Houston.
So
what you got, Robbie?
I was going to say, it's not supposed to happen.
Nope.
Jason Garrett always told us, a meritocracy, though.
And
it doesn't really matter where you come from.
As it should be, awarded based on the merit and not the draft status. It's supposed to be earn the star, so let it be just that, earn the star.
So food for thought as we go to our first break, though. The last time, you guys can answer this, not rhetorical. When was the last time the Cowboys legitimately had a question mark about their receiving core as a whole, position group-wise?
2018.
Boom, 2018. When was the last time they spent a third-round pick?
By committee.
Wait. Listen, there's a lot to this. When was the last time they spent a 2018 first or a third-round pick on a wide receiver?
2018.
Michael Gallup.
Yep.
2018, 81st overall pick, just 7 picks ahead of Jalen Tolbert. He was active for every single game that year. Did they add another guy later that year as well behind Michael Gallup as a rookie receiver? Absolutely. Cedric Wilson. He didn't play a single game. Cedric Wilson, who's now gotten the money in Miami, and he's a part of the Dolphins, and he is starting on Sundays. He didn't start a single game as a sixth-round pick in 2018. Mm-hmm. And now you have an undrafted free agent in Dennis Houston beating out a third-round pick in Jalen Tolbert. Relatively.
And
what?
And
Sammy Fajoko. But all of that to say, this should not happen. For Jalen Tolbert.
Second year, fourth round pick.
Should not happen. All right, when we come back, we're taking your calls. 888-855-2297. Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company comes back right after this.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
The Cowboys way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Little Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone works on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy. You go, they go. What was it? They go, you go? And if you have the wrong car insurance, these repair costs could stop you in your tracks. So get Allstate's new low auto rate and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Not available in every state based on coverage and limits selected. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. If you are a fan of live music, come up here to the Star on Wednesday, September 21st for a brand new monthly concert series. This is really cool. Sounds of the Star featuring country music recording artist, the Powell Brothers. The High Energy Show kicks off at 7 p.m. and is free and open to the public. For more information, visit thestarinfrisco.com.
Pow!
The Powell Brothers.
Pow!
Pow, pow, pow. It's P-O-W-E-L-L.
Are you just saying pow?
Pow. Pow.
Pow.
Powell Brothers, however you want to say it. But yeah, that's a really cool. It's a Sounds of the Star. You can visit online, starinfrisco.com. Really cool monthly concert series along the way.
I vibe with it.
Turn you guys country. Time. Oh, I'm going to a concert tonight. Are you guys people?
I'm trying to get more into being a concert person.
Really?
Like, and I'm a fan of almost all genres. Like, I like to keep a diverse portfolio of music. I'm an audiophile. But I've never been one who has gotten out to a lot of concerts. And not because I don't want to. It's just that's not how life is going. But I'm really trying to make a cognizant effort to start doing so more and more. Because there is so much fun to be had at these live performances. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm trying to get in my bag, my concert bag. Mm. Your eyes are inviting me to your next.
I just wanted. I was waiting for you to say that you listen to country. I was curious.
Oh, country. I have my country, folks.
You're country?
Yeah, I could dip into my country bag as well.
I have a bag of that, actually.
Dude,
yeah, me either. I might have a Ziploc, but that's about it.
I'm the same way. Yeah, a little bit.
I could dip into the country bag. You know, you might hear me driving up to some Randy. Mm. You know, a little bit of Johnny.
Okay.
Randy Travis.
There's plenty of Randy and Johnny down in South Texas as well, where our friend Mario joins us here on Talking Tuesday. Mario in South Texas. How's it going, my friend?
Hey, Kyle. Hey, gentlemen. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're good. Doing great. Fantastic. What's on your mind?
Good, good. Appreciate you taking my call. I just want to touch on upcoming Monday night divisional matchup versus the Giants. So against the Bengals, we pretty much just rush four the whole game, and we're getting home. But the Giants don't have nearly as effective pass catchers and weapons on the outside as the Bengals do. So do you see our defensive strategy changing? Maybe Dan Quinn bringing the heat, trying to get to Daniel Jones? And one more thing, Kyle, since you never listen to Mystical, if you never do listen to him, just make sure you do not walk in the club like him. Be cool.
Oh,
thanks, guys.
Don't do that one. Okay, thank you, Mario.
That's actually really good advice.
What is he?
You Google it.
We gotta talk about that.
Okay,
I'm Googling it in my head.
Is that you don't know that one?
I don't
either?
Know that. Yeah,
it's good advice though.
I don't know that guy, but I like him.
I like him.
It's good advice.
Crazy.
That was good.
That guy's crazy.
So he goes. And one more thing. I thought it was gonna be another Cowboys question, awesome. But yeah, there you go. Mythical again.
This is cool advice.
So with his early question, do you bring a similar defensive front, Rob, if you're Dallas going up against New York compared to what they did against Cincinnati?
Not if you don't have to. I mean, that's the beauty of – I mean, that's how the Giants have won their Super Bowls. Isaiah was part of one. If you can get pressure with four and play coverage and flex on that, then that's a dream for a defensive coordinator. I wouldn't blitz if I don't have to. But that also depends on, you know, it's Micah Parsons, and I charted every damn play that he had last night. He had 59 plays, and it was, I mean, I want to say it's 97% were rushing off the edge. Is he going to do that every game, you know, or is he going to be more? It's interesting that they did that based off of maybe the matchup that they saw with Lyle Collins and knowing they had to get to Joe Burrow and maybe how you feel about your linebacker depth too. But I don't know if you're going to see Micah doing that every single game. So Dan spoke to that yesterday.
What was his split in game one? Wasn't it like 60-40?
Yeah, and that's kind of what he did last season too.
Yeah.
And Dan spoke to that yesterday where if you know where he's going to be all the time, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem facing other teams. So, you know, but they're a better pass rushing group when he's rushing.
So as I said, when it comes to those that are lobbying for Micah Parsons to be put at defensive end full time, I can't stress this enough. Give it a rest. The fact that he can be elite at two positions means you should allow him to be elite at two positions. Mm-hmm. The name of the game should be unpredictability. The name of the game should be versatility. You need to keep opposing quarterbacks and opposing offensive coordinators guessing on a week-to-week basis. If you look at, okay, let's say a split was 60-40 in week one, and it was almost 100% committed to defensive end. If you're the New York Giants, you're looking at this like, well damn, which one do we get? Which Micah Parsons do we get? The fact that you have to ask yourself that question makes your game planning that much more difficult. Now, to circle back to the original question, I don't think that Dan Quinn needs to change a thing. I think you commit to rushing those four, ask your guys to beat their guys up front, and then you challenge Daniel Jones to make plays down the field to a receiving group, as the caller stated, that is not nearly as, you know, lethal or proven or prolific as what they just faced in the Cincinnati Bengals. I think you challenge Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones
has more escapability than does Joe Burrow, and most certainly does Tom Brady.
Got wheels. Yes.
I know he's got wheels, but Joe Burrow can move too. Yeah, but Joe kind of walks
Daniel
into
Jones
sacks.
Has more wheels uses it. Than Joe
but
Burrow.
But Burrow hurt Dallas last week with that.
Right, so you have to be careful with sending additional help arguably unnecessarily, because that could allow him to extend the play, and now you're widening coverage windows to receivers that, if you play them straight up otherwise, they may not be able to beat your coverage. Yeah. So don't lengthen the time that your secondary has to cover. Keep those guys on the receiver's hips, and then you send your four, and then you keep them guessing with Micah Parsons. That needs to be the game plan.
What do you think, Isaiah?
Yeah, I'm actually watching the film right now. I've been watching it all morning, and the New York Giants front line is not great.
Yeah,
they're not. Their offensive tackles are very suspect. There's going to be a lot of opportunity to take advantage of those guys. To that point, I think it's a mixed bag. I think if you rush four or rush five, you'll beat them. If you decide to heat them up, you'll beat them. So, I mean, defensively, this is looking from the film that I'm seeing like there's going to be plenty of opportunity. But the one point, you know, that Noah C was just mentioning is Danny Dimes. You don't want to give him opportunity to extend drives. If you have these guys up against the wall and they're struggling, why give him a window of opportunity to be able to utilize his legs? He doesn't look like he can run away, but he knows how to move the chains with his legs.
Yeah. He's had an 80-yard run in his career, so he can move.
Is that the one where he fell down?
It ended in hilarious.
Yeah, it ended in
hilarious fashion.
It was against the Eagles, right?
But Philly? He has some speed. He's not Lamar Jackson or anything, but he can escape the pocket. And if you give him green to take advantage of, he will take advantage of it. And he'll turn that 3rd and 11 into a 1st down. And now guess what? Your defense is out there for another, you know, 3-4 football minutes. And it starts to add up over the course of a game.
I'm going to say that was in a Monday Night Football or a Thursday Night Football game too, because it was definitely nighttime in Philly when he had the sniper hit his feet.
It was in Philly, yeah.
All right, Derek in Baltimore, you're on Talking Cowboys. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
Amazing.
All right. Hey, look, I got a quick question here. All right, I'm waiting for the Cowboys to be a better team, but that's not going to happen until Kellen Moore leaves as the offensive coordinator. But in the meantime, can he do something to make our runs create passing plays off our run formation? Because I'm getting tired of our offensive line and our wide receivers just getting tackled the way they are, because we don't attack pretty much. We just absorb everything.
Derek, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you. And, I mean, he came out. He said it with his chest.
I respect that, man.
Yeah, that's what you got to do on this show. You say it with your chest.
Stand behind your opinion, man. And sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. In this case, I'm half and half with you. I think that Kellen Moore is a very capable and actually a very good offensive coordinator. I do think that he has his struggles like every other coordinator does, and he is a young guy. However, this running game will improve. And they will be more deliberate with their running game, especially when Peters decides to show his face with his hand in the ground. Whenever that happens, it happens. But I truly and wholeheartedly believe when you have a 9-time Pro Bowler and a 7-time Pro Bowler playing at both guard positions, I think you're going to be okay in terms of running the ball up the middle. And you'll be a lot more confident and committed to making that run happen.
I think there's a reason that in recent memory, Kellen Moore was one of the hottest candidates for a potential head coaching role in the NFL. I think, to your point, Isaiah, Kellen Moore is a brilliant football mind, and I think he can be a very good offensive coordinator. I think the trouble that Kellen runs into is getting a little bit too up the sleeve, is the way I'd put it, as far as digging for tricks that aren't necessarily needed to be put on display at the moment. Because if you harken back to week 1, you get off to a good start with Ezekiel Elliott on the ground, and then trick play, it didn't work. Okay, and then you get back to Ezekiel Elliott, hey, this is working, trick play, it didn't work. And then all of a sudden you start getting away from the run and what was working. So I think Kellen Moore needs to do two things a little bit better. One, continue to take advantage of whatever the respective defense is giving you. If that defense is allowing you to tear them up in the air, by all means, shred them and you know, make the run game a secondary thought. But if that defense is allowing you to run the ball, don't revert back to Kellen Moore, the quarterback, who simply wants to see the ball thrown more and as such then starts to throw the ball more because that's not what that particular defense might be giving you. You talk about a team like Tampa Bay, for example. So for me, it's consistency and knowing when to get tricky on the plays and then knowing – and what I love that he did last week, not only was he more consistent in the run, which was something we really harped on having to see from the Cowboys in week two, but to the Turpin question that was asked in the mailbag last week, it wasn't necessarily Turpin, but you saw it happen with Lamb and yeah. You saw it happen with Cooper. He had Cooper Rush drop back and just throw a couple of go routes. And obviously the goal were for those to be complete. But even if they weren't complete, they sent the message.
Yeah.
You have to defend us vertically. And then what did it do? It opened up the underneath. Mm-hmm. And guess who ate underneath? Some guy named Noah Brown.
Yeah.
So Kellen Moore has proven he can win games in this league, a lot of games, as a matter of fact. He's not green. He's not a greenhorn. Consistency and knowing when to pull the tricks out. And you're not going to need to pull the trick out every game.
Yeah, the funkiest he got in the game was, I mean, there's a jet sweep to Turpin.
Funky.
I mean, it wasn't some of the crazy stuff we saw in the first half of Tampa Bay. It was a nice little misdirection with Zeke and Pollard both in the backfield, and it goes to Pollard instead on a little sweep. Like, that's... It was kind of surprisingly simple early on, like some flares out to CD, just get him going early, just kind of just feel the game a little bit. That was more...
Wet your whistle?
Yeah. It was the more conservative stuff that Mike McCarthy referenced. And that's when you have a backup quarterback in the game, that's what you got to do. Just rely on, just kind of take the simple stuff, like Nosey said. Don't overthink it.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kiss.
I was going to say, you dropped the S off.
Keep it simple, stupid. That's how it goes. All right, Bob in Nashville, we're going to get you on the other side of the break, so we'll be right back with more Talking Cowboys right after this.
Little Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
The Cowboys Way. Where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020, Bank of America Corporation.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Whether you're watching from home or you're cheering in the stands with Essilor lenses, you can see every exciting play. Book an appointment at your local Essilor experts and see what Essilor can do for you. See more, do more, Essilor. Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. And we are now joined by Bob in Nashville. Bob, what's on your mind? Welcome back to Talking Cowboys.
Hey, guys, I love
I love working from home, so I can call in it. But real quick.
We got some clothes on, man.
At least bottom half.
That's not a pretty sight. But anyways, real quick question, and I'll hang up and let you guys answer. When Dak comes back, I really think they need to tailor back the offense. And just, I love the dinking and dunking and taking their shots down the field every once in a while and letting the run game win. I just don't think we can go to the Super Bowl with Dak slinging it all over the yard. My opinion, I just thought, get your thoughts real quick. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you, man. And, I mean, that's kind of what you've been talking about a little bit, Isaiah, is you want to keep it simple for Dak just to, like you're doing it for Cooper Rush, right?
Yeah, I've always said that. I don't think Dak's a quarterback that drops back and throws you to victory. I think he's a play-action guy. There's no spite on him. That's just what he is. And he's best utilized with a running game. So they get back. Hopefully, like I mentioned a little while ago, I think Peters is going to add a lot to this running game. And I think you'll be able to go downhill a lot more consistently.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get to our second question here, because we're rushing for time. Maurice in Tacoma.
Stinky Town, Tech Town?
Okay.
Tech Town, baby.
Okay.
How's it going, Maurice? You're on Talking Cowboys.
Hey, real quick, I just got a question. Not to beat up on Kellen Moore, because I think he did a good job with his scheme last week. My question is, if the ship starts to sink, how long does McCarthy let it go before he has to take it over? Because that could drastically affect whether or not he's here next season. And then also, what are we thinking about losing Ridgeway to the Commanders? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for calling. That's two things, Rob, that have happened before, where you not only have a player that's claimed by a division rival. I mean, New York, what did they do this week?
Jalen Smith signed the practice squad today.
What? How about that?
Second time in 2 years he's done that the week of a Cowboys game. Yeah.
And then John Ridgeway, who was on waivers as a fifth-round pick, taken by the Washington Commanders. Let's start with Kellen Moore, though. What do you think about what he said there about McCarthy, maybe the play calling, and how long of a leash does he have compared to what other coaches
might? I mean, listening to Mike, he's got plenty of faith in Kellen, although he did say he was going to maybe go over the, you know, as far as the scripting stuff, maybe a little bit more than usual. And I think maybe that was reflective in the way that game started. It was a great plan. The first 15 or whatever it is for Kellen was a great plan for Cooper Rush early on. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to sink necessarily, but I think you could see Mike maybe be more involved if he needs to be. But he's big on giving autonomy to his coordinators. I don't know if that's going to be. I don't know if you see a situation where he would just take play calling unless it just got to the point where it was, you know, week after week what we saw in week one, which was bad.
And then Ridgeway going to the Commanders.
And I liked Ridgeway coming out of Arkansas. You know, big, nasty guy, strong, a lot of power. But he was really up against it. Numbers game for the Cowboys on the defensive front. Neville Gallimore, Quentin Bohanna, Chauncey Golston, Oso Digizua. And here you have a rookie fifth-round pick who's trying to, you know, get game snaps against that particular depth chart. It wasn't to be. And when it came down to choosing to carry Dak on the active roster, somebody had to go, and you look at the injury to Basham, look at the injury to Jaron Curse. None of these other position groups could afford to lose anyone, but the interior defensive line could. Yeah. So there went the John Ridgeway. And yes, Dan Quinn is disappointed, but as he stated, he also understands that there's so much depth there. You know,
we talked about it at training camp that there were going to be tough decisions. Yep. You were going to lose somebody that you really wanted to have on your football team. And John Ridgeway was there.
I was slightly surprised he made the 53 because I thought he was right on the bubble there.
Yeah.
So
I was surprised that he was claimed, not a you know, slight to Ridgeway, but just in the capacity of he hadn't, you know, been active or getting any snaps. So what was it that the rest of the other 31 teams saw that made them jump? I think that's the Commanders doing a little bit of gamesmanship, saying, hey, we got the Cowboys coming up in a couple weeks.
Maybe.
Let's take their rookie fifth-round pick. Yeah, okay.
Maybe
well,
so.
You know, Zach
Moore is
still going to have his way with so.
So, Patrick, this is your first helmet sticker scenario.
Is.
Normally we do this on a Victory Monday. Doing it on a Victory Tuesday. So you take a player. You give switch. Them. Are you trying to switch?
No, I don't understand how they make them smell.
Oh, that's what. Oh, you're questioning the manufacturing.
They're fragrant.
They are
quite fragrant.
These are 3 years old now, and they still smell
fragrant.
Great. So, smelly stickers. This started back when we were talking about
get some cologne. If that's the case,
we started back when we were talking about just players earning an award is basically what it was. Is it's a helmet sticker that if you do something well in the game, you contribute to a victory, you get a helmet sticker, and it's a scratch and sniff rather than like the Buckeye Ivy or whatever they end up putting on their helmet and stuff. But we've got a full-sized Cowboys helmet here. Rob Phillips, as the veteran of the group, we're going to let you start things off with the helmet sticker. First helmet sticker of 2022.
I have to go with one Noah Brown, okay?
What?
I have to.
You're a thief.
He's been in the league. I mean, oh, you want him?
Here, no, take him. No, you take him.
He's a veteran. He gets it.
You play the OG. He's the veteran in the NFL.
No, stop it. No, you already did it.
I'll just keep it simple.
Go ahead,
6 years in the NFL, and you get your first touchdown. Not only that, you were clutch early, and you were clutch late. Hell of a job by Noah Brown. His teammates love him, too.
I love it.
Okay. First helmet sticker of 2022, Noah Brown. Isaiah Stambaugh.
That's what I always prepare for with multiple. You know what I'm saying, Kyle?
It's a pineapple.
Here goes my smelly sticker. Let me go ahead and scratch it.
Pineapple on roller skates, Chris.
I don't know. I think this is my peach.
Hey, here we go. You see this right there? You see the eye right there? All right, so that is... That's Tyler Smith looking at everybody like, hey, how you doing there? You thought I wasn't going to be a good player? He's out there balling, taking care of business. He can't wait to have a Pro Bowler playing next to him. Tyler Smith, good job.
What was that like?
I like it. That's your best Tyler Smith impression. All right, so for my inaugural, I'm going to go with Trevon Diggs. Stepped up huge with those two tackles, obviously the bigger one on third down, and now we find out that there was headsets had went out, and he still got the job done.
Yeah.
So Trevon Diggs gets a lemon, and here's why he gets a lemon. It's because everyone who continues to doubt the first-team All-Pro cornerback and his ability to cover and or tackle, you're going to continue to be sour and bitter every time you see Trevon Diggs do what he continues to do. So Trevon Diggs, he gets the lemon because he's making everybody sour and bitter who hopes that he fails on a weekly basis.
I like that a lot, Pat. All right, for the final one, I'm going to get this big old lollipop. It's real skinny. It's the longest sticker that you have on the entire.
What?
Yep. It's lollipop.
Can't even look at you.
Yep. The reason why is because Greg Zuerlein made two really long field goals on Sunday.
Oh, I like it. Well done.
Oh, God.
Zuerlein, what? Did he?
I said, I'm done.
Game.
He threw himself off.
Oh, no.
Isaiah's dirty mind has me thinking, oh, golly. Give me
skinny
Brett Maher. He's got the helmet sticker. That's it for Talking Cowboys. Presented by Black Rifle Coffee. It's Brett Maher helmet sticker. Trevon Diggs helmet sticker. Noah Brown helmet sticker. Isaiah has officially kicked off this show forever. That's it for us. Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee. For Chris Beam, Isaiah Stanback, Rob Phillips, Patrick Walker, I'm Kyle Yeomans. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys?